Morning. Today's daf and zvachim is your test. We are on Yud Ches Amud Beis, where the two dots towards the bottom of the Amud. On Yud Ches Amud Beis, it's about 15 lines from the bottom of the Amud. Starting today with the word Tana Rabbanan, we are going to be discussing more about Big Day Kahuna. The Big Day Kahuna becomes the topic of discussion here in the second paragraph of zvachim, as we learn together that Mechutz Megadim, that a Kohen, who is not wearing the requisite number of clothing during the Avodah is Psula, is Mechalo the Avodah. We learned it based on a derivation of a number of different drushas, kavachomers, and various drushas in the course of yesterday's daf. Yesterday we spent a lot of time talking about mechusa begadim and yisa begadim, wearing too little clothing, wearing too much clothing. We talked about yesterday the length of the clothing and whether the fact that the clothing has to be form-fitting. And on top of that, we also discussed halachas regarding tzitzis as well, begadim that require tzitzis. What if the bigot has too few corners or it has too many corners? One correction from yesterday's daf is that the Gemara yesterday brought down a machlokus amongst the brises whether or not a beged has more than four corners, whether or not there's tzitzis required on such a beged or not. So it's a machlokus between the brises. One brises says that it's four and only four, meaning three is no good and five is no good. Or I should say better, three is not chayiv and tzitzis, five is not chayiv and tzitzis. And there's another brisa that says no. Only when the number is less is it not chayiv and tzitzis, but the number is more, it would be chayiv and tzitzis. If the number is more according to that brisa, meaning let's say you had five corners or six corners, so then yes, it would be chayiv and tzitzis. It would be chayiv and tzitzis because yesh bechlal manam asayim, because still in five of course there's four and in six of course there are four. How many corners need to have tzitzis on them? So I made a mistake yesterday. Yesterday I said all corners have to have tzitzis. That's not the halacha. The halacha is that only four of the five or four of the six only require tzitzis. Which four? Okay, that becomes tricky. The halacha is that it's the four corners that are furthest away from one another. Okay, it's, you know, good luck. Anyway, it's obviously preferable to have a beggar with four corners and not get involved in the machlokas altogether. Okay, that's just a little bit from yesterday. We continue in the Gemara today, Tana Rabbanan. So the Torah, when describing the Big Day Kahuna, refers to it as bad. Bad. So we're going to darshan a number of things from the word bad. Number one, bashi yubushobutz. It has to be made up of linen. Number two, bashi yuchadashim. It has to be new. Number three, bashi yushizurim. It has to be twisted. Number four, bashi yuchutim kafal shisha. It has to be made up of six strands, meaning each one of the strands has to be made up of six. Okay, the Gemara doesn't make this point, but the word bad itself, meaning a base dollar, okay, gets it a number six. Okay, that's nice, but the Gemara didn't say it. So bad shiu chutin kafal shisha. Bad shelo yulbash shelchol imahen. And bad also teaches us that it cannot be, can't wear any other clothing together with it. In other words, it can only be the big tikkun and no other clothing. So Amalei Abayi LeRav Yosef Bishlam Mishiusha Botzei Kamashlam Botzei Midachrin Elo. The first halacha that we learned together in the Braisa makes perfect sense, meaning it has to be linen to the exclusion of any other material. You can't use another material, making it up. Elabashi Chadashim Chadashin Ishchak Elo. Now implied also in the Braisa that we just learned together that it has to be new, and that new is an essential component to the begadim, and the indication is that Shachak, if it's worn out, so then it's not going to be good, meaning it wouldn't even be good b'di'evin. V'atanya, but the Gemara says, but look at the top of the Amud, or I should say, what we did at the bottom of yesterday's Amud Aleph. V'atanya, b'shuchakim k'sherim, we learned together that, look, it's obviously better to have new clothing, but if it's worn out, it still would be okay b'di'evin. So amalei v'leteyamech bashiyu chutim kafal shisha. Bad chad chad lechudei mashma. The Gemara says, well, we also learned in this very same brisa that bad has to be, it has to be six strands that are twisted together. The Gemara says the word bad seems to indicate that it has to be one. So Allah hachikamer begadim shenamra behem bad tzrichim shiu shabutz chadashim shuzurim shiuchutim kafal shisha yesh mem lemitzvah yesh lem lakish. So the way we're going to have to read the brisa is as follows. Yes, the brisa gave us a list of requirements regarding the manufacturing of the Big Day Kahuna, but it's not all on the same level. Some of them leikuva and some of them are lemitzvah. Some of them are essential, and some of them are just simply the preferred way to make it. But in other words, but don't assume that just because it made it into the list, that everything over here is essential. That's not true. Some are essential, and some are just a mitzvah. Take a look at Rashi over here, Yeshmem lemitzvah. Rashi's pretty much right alongside where we are in the Gemara. Chadashim lanoi. Dalami mashmusase. So the fact that it has to be new, so that's just simply a hiddur. In other words, like it's like hiddur mitzvah. So, but that's not encoded in the Torah, meaning there's no indication in the Torah that it has to be new. So the Gemara says, other halachas, however, mentioned the Braisa alike. It has to be linen, it has to be twisted, it has to be made up, each strand has to be made up of six. So that is all incorporated in the Torah. So, butkin the mefarsh vazel, davar haolam in a karka. So, bad bivad shizurm, kevan, de ban hainu butz, over amakar luhu sheish, marjar vechutin kafal shisha, because I'm in a beseda yuma. The fact that it's twisted of six, that's also something that is inherent in the linen manufacturing. The alfina beseda yuma, me cried, devarim shenemra bem sheish, chutin kafal shisha, viyafla li kuva. Okay, and the Gemara, and Rashi says, open up the Gemara Yuma, where the Gemara over there mentions how the halacha that it's made up of a composite of six strands, each strand is made up of a composite of six, that's a din d'oraisa, and that's li'ikuva. So basically what the Gemara says is, yes, it has to be new, but it doesn't have to be new. In other words, it should be new. Other things it has to be. It has to be linen. It has to be a composite of six strands. Back to the Gemara. Mimai dahai bad kisna hu. How do I know that the bad means linen? Where is the indication that the word bad is actually linen? Amar Rebbe Yosef b'Rebbe Chanina davar olam in a karka bad bivad. So the Gemara says because we're looking at something that comes out of the ground individually, one at a time. Meaning that's the way linen grows. Linen grows as the flax is growing out of the ground. It's growing up from the ground individually. Ema amra. So the Gemara says, okay, but wool also grows. Now, wool, of course, does not grow from the ground, but it grows from the sheep. And the way that it grows out of the sheep is also separately, individually. So the Gemara says, Amr Miftal, no, because when it comes to wool splits. So in other words, the fibers of the wool splitting as it's growing out. So the Gemara says, Kista Nami Miftal. So the Gemara says, okay, but linen also splits. Al Yedei Likuta Miftal. The Gemara says, no. When we're talking about linen splitting, that's because you're hitting it. In other words, so as you're beating the linen, so then it's going to split open. As opposed to the wool, so as it's growing out of the sheep, it's splitting on its own even before you hit it. Ravina Mar Mehacha, Pere Pishtim Yu'a Rosham, Umichnase Pishtim Yu'a Masnehem, Lo Yachar Biza. So the Gemara quotes the Pasuk in Yechezkel, and Ravina says, you see, based on this Pasuk in Yechezkel, that it's linen, meaning the Pasuk in Yechezkel says it's linen. So in other words, we're just going to put two things together. We take the Torah's indication that it has to be bad. We look at the Pasuk in Yechezkel, it's clearly describing it as linen. And so now we know that the translation of the word bad is linen. So I'm le Ravash le Ravina v'hai adas Yechezkel minalan. No, you don't understand. I'm asking, meaning before Sefer Yechezkel was written. Sefer Yechezkel was written at the end of Bais Rishon. Okay, that's very good. So at the end of Bais Rishon, now we know. But from the time the Torah was given until Yechezkel, like, how did we know? So v'latamech adam Rav Chista davizem mitoros Moshe Rabbeinu lamanu midivrei Yechezkel ben Buzi lamanu. So he says, well, I'll give you another example of how did we know. Let's say, for example, the following halacha. Kol b'necha arel leiva arel basol leyavol mikdashi. So the halacha is that somebody who is an arel leiva arel basar, either someone who is arel leiv, literally means circumcised, not circumcised of the heart, which means that religiously he's off the reservation. He's not a mamon. And arel basar means somebody who's an arel, meaning someone who's uncircumcised. And again, by the way, I keep telling you this, by the way, I'm so convinced. I don't know if Rashi ever misses an opportunity. Rashi, Arel Basar, three lines from the bottom in Rashi, Shemesu Achav Machvas Mila. Right? Rashi consistently, throughout Shas, every time he talks about somebody who's uncircumcised, Rashi insistent on the fact that it wasn't his fault. In other words, he was Beheter. In other words, Ba'ones. His brothers died out of a Mila. He didn't receive a Mila because that's the halacha. Halacha is you shouldn't get a mila. And still, lo yavo el hamikdash. He's not allowed to go into the base of mikdash. Now, where is this indicating the Torah that somebody who is an arel basar can't go into the base of mikdash? The answer is, it's not indicated in the Torah. And so therefore, ashaba yecheska manalan ela gemar gemirula v'asi yecheska v'as mecheyakra hachinami gemar gemirula v'chulei. So the Gemara says, because look, it's halacha Moshe Mitzrayim. Meaning, not every halacha is recorded in the Torah. Some halachas are given to given via Masara to Moshe Rabbeinu. We call it halacha Moshe Mitzrayim. So over here, same thing. Meaning, the halacha that the clothing of a kohen has to be made up of linen. Okay, before Yechezkel said it, how do we know? It's Masara. It's halacha Moshe Mitzrayim. Or maybe we can put it in a different category. It's Perushim HaMukubalim. In other words, right, the Rambam talks about how there are various particular in the Torah where we know what the Pshat is. It's not open to any kind of debate. It's Perushim HaMukubalim. Maybe that's a better category over here. But anyway, but the point is, it's still the same point. In other words, the point is that we knew it's via Mesora. Moshe Rabbeinu told us what it was, and he got it as a Mesora from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And now, Yechezkel Membuzi writes it hundreds of years later. Okay, good. So in other words, Asmichu Akra. But in other words, but we have it primarily, originally as a Mesora. As long as we quoted this pasuk in Yechezkel from the 44th chapter of Yechezkel, so there was the end of the pasuk which I read, I didn't translate, and the Gemara was curious. My lo yachru biza. Okay, what does that mean at the end of the pasuk? I'm Rabbi lo yachru b'makom shemizin. So the Gemara says that when you put the belt on, meaning for a regular kohen there are four articles of clothing: there are pants, there's this long tunic, a belt, and a hat. Those are the four articles of clothing. So placement of the belt, meaning we learned yesterday's daf that the tunic has to go down and basically not hit the floor, but go right down to the bottom of his legs and cover his legs. We are now learning in terms of where the belt should be placed. So where should the belt go? So right now, that's what the pasuk is teaching us. Lo yachru b'makom shemizin, meaning don't put it somewhere where you're going to perspire. So the Gemara here gives us a range in terms of where the belt should be placed. It shouldn't be lower than the loins. And Rashi over here gives somewhat of a more descriptive explanation of this location. Look at the second to last line of Rashi. Lamata mi masneim makom shenichba v'nofel shuman habeten al ha kilboso shikarin anka. So basically, I mean, Rashi over here is describing someone who's a little more portly. And Rashi over here is saying, basically, you know where your stomach starts rolling over the sides of your waist? So he says, no lower than that. And then, that's the lower limits. What about the upper limits? So that is lo lamala ma'atzilehem, not above the elbow. So basically, as your hands or your arms are hanging down on the side of your body, so you're not allowed to put the belt above the elbows. In other words, in the chest area, anywhere above where the elbows line, the elbows are. I mean, it's right. Well, stay tuned. By the way, in terms, there's going to be more Gemara coming up in terms of placement of the belt. So the Gemara says, and the problem is that Rashi explains, because if the belt is either placed too low or too high, so therefore it's going to be collecting a lot of perspiration of the body, right? Certainly you can easily imagine that if it's, in other words, in the area of the armpit, so therefore it's going to be now really a depository, a collection spot of all that perspiration, and that'll soil the clothing. So that's what you don't want. So Ella, so where do you want it? So Kenegat Atzila Yadem, so basically right where the elbows are, meaning as your arms are lying down the side, so you want the belt basically where your elbows are, or a little bit lower than that, if based on the Gemara that we saw just before. Amar Ravashi, Amar Lehuna Barnasan, Zimna Chada Havakimna Kamede Iz Gadar Malka. So Ravashi tells the following, that he was told over by Huna Barnasan the following incident, that Huna Barnasan was in front of the king, right? Iz Gadar Malka. I got nothing for you on the king, but anyway, he was a king. So what he would do is that he would lower my belt, meaning he felt that my belt was riding too high, and so what he did is he corrected my belt. Okay, and he also gave me mustard on top of that. You people are mamlachas kohanim. You're a nation of kohanim, meaning that you're regal, you're royalty. And you should be dressed appropriately. You look where your belt is. It's riding way too high on you. Right, lower it. Not only did he tell me to lower it, he actually lowered it as well. So, So he says that when I came in front of a Amemar, so he said, based on the pasuk, vayu malachim umnayach, like you're a nation of kings, meaning you're royalty. And as such, you have to be dressed appropriately. Okay. Okay, so I know everyone's going to be checking their belt after today's shir, making sure it's in the right location.
Yeah, is that the same location or higher or lower?
Seems to be. I mean, you know, this morning I was, you know, was going over the Gemara again. I did a check. Okay, it's basically. I don't know. I mean, it was right. It was more like right. I heard Phil say this. It was right. Correct. In other words, the dress back then is different than now. They didn't wear pants back then, meaning they wore a tunic that went down. And so basically, it was more like a gartel than the belt that we wear. Okay. And I mean, our belts are there to hold our pants up. So it's again, agreed. It's like a different function. Okay. Tanan Hasam. Okay, we are now going over a Mishnah in Erevin. The Mishnah in the end of Erevin, right? When Moed opens up, Seder Moed opens up, so it opens up with a long Masechta Shabbos. Masechta Shabbos is made up of 24 Parakim, but then it's not over. In other words, the next Masechta is Erevin, which is really more Hilchos Shabbos, and that goes on for another 10 Parakim as well. So when all said and done, when you open up with Seder Moed, you're basically looking at 34 Parakim of Shabbos. Okay? So that's a good amount of Hilchos Shabbos. At the end of Erevin, so now after 24 Parakim of Shabbos, and after another 10 Parakim of Erevin, when you get now to the 34th Parak in Seder Moed, so now we're talking more about Hilchos Shabbos, and specifically about this idea that in the Beis HaMikdash, Kohanim could put on bandages. Now, when I say bandage, I'm not talking about Band-Aid. You know, when we say Band-Aid, we're not talking about, you know, in other words, that's the name of a brand. It's, you know, they did such a good job marketing. So anyway, but in other words, we're not talking really about bandages. We're talking about basically using some sort of like aloe leaf to wrap around a wound. Okay, so what's the problem with that? The problem with that is that there is a general gzera d'rabbanan that one is not to apply medicine on Shabbos. Right? So the samamanim, putting on medication, taking medication orally, or putting it on topically, are going to be isurei d'rabbanan. However, we have a concept of ein shvus b'mikdash, that in the Beis HaMikdash, so there are no isuri d'rabbanan, although I say it as if it's fundamental, as if it's categoric, that's not true. There are some isuri d'rabbanan in the Beis HaMikdash, but generally speaking, there is a relaxation of the d'rabbanan rules in the Beis HaMikdash as it relates to the Kohanim. So what we're about to learn together is a Mishnah Erevin that teaches us that if a Kohen has a cut and he wants to put this aloe bandage on his cut, he may do so in the Beis HaMikdash. We're not allowed to do so on Shabbos because of an issue of refuah, meaning there's a gzera of refuah on Shabbos. So we're not allowed to do it, but in the Beis HaMikdash, so they're allowed to do it. That's the Mishnah Erevin. We're obviously not learning Erevin right now. We're learning the second paragraph of Zvachim, and we're learning about the fact that a Kohen has to be wearing clothing and nothing can separate between his body and the clothing. So in other words, we are going to deal with the issue of chatzitza. Right, the Mishnah in Erevin is dealing with the issue of Shvus B'Mikdash. We are now, because we're learning the second paragraph of Zvachim, are focusing on the concern of Chatzitza. And that is what we're covering in the next little while. Tanan Hasam, so here's the Mishnah in Erevin. Kohen Shalaka Be'etzba, let's say the Kohen gets a cut on his hand. So, Korech Alagemi B'Mikdash, Avalo B'Medina. So the Mishnah in Erevin says that it's in the base of Mikdash, and yes, there's a general Gzera D'Rabbanan of Shvus, but a Kohen is allowed to wear it. Wear this like aloe bandage in the Beis HaMikdash. We're not allowed to do so outside the Beis HaMikdash, but the Kohen is. However, if the purpose over here is to express blood out of the cut, that is prohibited across the board. That is an Isser de Araisa, Lahotzi Dam, and therefore it's going to be Usser for both Kohen and non-Kohen. There's no heter for the Kohen to do so, because now we're talking about a Malacha de Araisa. Rashi over here writes, it's a Chabura, and a chabur is an isur d'araisa. Exactly which of the 39 malachas does it fall under? Good question. Kind of an open-ended question because it's not totally clear from the Gemaras, but whatever the case is, it's an isur.
Is that like shechita?
Okay, that's one possibility. That's another possibility.
Which one?
Right? Ben suggested soveya. You suggested shechita. Those are two excellent possibilities. Again, the Gemara is not clear. The Gemara always tells us it's an Issa d'Araisa, but the Gemara is not clear about which malach it is. In any event, it's an Issa d'Araisa, and therefore the Kohen's not allowed to do it.
Is it a temporary moment when you have a cup and you can't even wear the cup?
I don't know. No, it doesn't seem that way. So the Amr of Yehuda Bered, the Rabbi Chiyah, Loshanu Ala Gemi. So now the Gemara, from our perspective, meaning from the second parak of Zvachim, is now going to deal with this with the same scenario, but from the perspective of Chatzitza and Yisur Begadim. So the Gemara quotes in the name of Yehuda Bered Rabbi Chia that, in other words, the only thing that's allowed is this aloe bandage. However, it's still katan, but if you're like wearing a small belt, basically it's like a cloth bandage over here, but basically it's like a tourniquet. In other words, you're wrapping it around, and so that is going to be a problem because that's yisur begadim, meaning now you're wearing an additional article of clothing. And as we learned in yesterday's daf, a kohen is only limited to wearing the clothing of the bigde kahuna and cannot wear an additional article of clothing. Rav Yochanan Amar lo Amar yisur begadim ela b'makom begadim. Avashlo b'makom begadim lo have yisur. Now Rav Yochanan says no, meaning, when we're talking about Yisur Begadim is only an issue only in an area where he normally wears clothing. Meaning if the extra belt is worn in an area where clothing is worn, so that's a consideration of Yisur Begadim. However, if we're talking about on the hand, he's not wearing any clothing on the hand. So just even if he wraps a small little bandage around his hand, meaning, and I say bandage over here, I mean like a cloth bandage around his hand, that, according to Rabbi Yochanan, is not Yisur Begadim, because he doesn't wear clothing normally in that area. So the Gemara says, V'tepek le'mishim chatzitza. So the Gemara says, okay, but now, what does he have? He basically has a bandage wrapped around his hand. Bandage wrapped around his hand, right now, let's assume it's his right hand. So now, he does any avod in the base of Mikdash, so he's not holding the klisharis in his hand. In other words, he's not handling the items with his hand. And so now, we left one consideration, which is Yisur Begadim, but now we walk right into another consideration. And that, of course, is Chatzitza. So the Gemara says, Bismol. So the first answer of the Gemara is, okay, so in other words, we're not talking about the right hand, you're right. You're right, double entendre. You're right, meaning that if the cut was on the right hand, and he had a wrapped bandage around his right hand, so that would be a Chatzitza. We're talking about the left hand. He's not doing the Avodah with his left hand, and so therefore, according to Rav Yochanan, there's no problem of Yisur Begadim because we're talking about on the hand itself. He's not wearing clothing on the hand. It's not a chatzitza because it's the left, not the right. So, inam ishlo b'makom avoda, or we could be talking about an area on the hand where he's not doing the actual avoda, meaning not the front of the hand, but the back of the hand. So the back of the hand, he has a cut and he has now a bandage on the back of the hand. That's not a chatzitza. It's not Yisur Begadim. It's not a chatzitza as well. Upligi de Rav. Now the Gemara points out that this is opposed to the position of Rava. That even if it is makom begadim, even if it's an area of the begadim, even afilu nima achas, even one strand is considered chatzitza. Shalom makom begadim shalosh al shalosh chotzetzes pachos mikan eno chotzetzes. However, if it's not makom begadim, in other words, if it's not a place where you're normally wearing clothing, so it has to be a swatch of fabric, a significant swatch of fabric, meaning 3x3 etzbos, then it would be considered a chatzitza, but anything less than that would not be considered a chatzitza. Now, the word chatzitza in this context is used loosely, meaning even though the Gemara uses the word chatzitza over here, the Gemara does not mean chatzitza in the literal sense. Look at Rashi. Rashi, shalosh shalosh chotzes, says, klomar have a yisur begadim. In other words, only because of symmetry are we using the word chatzitza over here. But chatzitza over here does not mean chatzitza, just simply means yisur begadim, according to Rava. Meaning wearing an article of clothing, not on a place where you normally wear clothing, not where the kohen normally wears clothing, but let's say on his hand. So sometimes it's yisur begadim and sometimes it's not. It simply depends on the size of the swatch of fabric that he's wearing. So the Gemara says, Ad Rav Yochanan Vade Pligi. Now look, certainly he argues with the opposition of Rav Yochanan. In other words, because according to Rav Yochanan, if it's Shloba Makom Begadim, it's not considered Yisur Begadim, period. So in other words, Rav Yochanan's position is very fundamental. As long as we're talking about an area of the body like the hand, where you don't normally wear clothing, so there's no Yisur Begadim consideration whatsoever. Masha Enkin, according to Rava, if it's a significant swatch of fabric on his hand, that would be considered Yisur Begadim. Adar Rav Yehuda Bered Rabbi Chiya Milema De Pligi. The Gemara says, but I don't necessarily think that he's arguing with Rav Yehuda Bered Rabbi Chiya. Why? Because Shanin Tzotzo Katan De Chashiv. Because look, Rav Yehuda Bered Rabbi Chiya was talking about a wrap that's going around his hand, right? Like it's tzotzol katan, literally a little belt. But in other words, it's an entire loop that's going around his hand. That, even if it's less than 3x3, in other words, in terms of an area, but you could say that it's a functional bag, it's kind of like, I'm borrowing an idea, but it's kind of like the birya concept, where it's significant, and therefore, even though it is not an area the size of 3x3, but because it's tzotzol katan, because it's like a loop, so therefore it's significant, and therefore, that he may feel that it would be considered yisur begadim. Lishna achrina. Now what we're going to do is we're going to do this again, another round of this, and another in a slightly different version, but it basically comes out to be the same.
The 3x3 is this concept of that our hero speaks about accepting tumas.
Yes, yes. In other words, in other areas of halacha, 3x3 is a shear of Kabbalah Satoma. Okay, that's correct. Lishna achrina. Armi le'amar of Yehuda bereid Rabbi Chiya loshanu ala gemi. Aval tzilzol katan chotzeis. The only time that you're allowed to put a bandage on, meaning for the Kohen in the Beis HaMikdash when he's got a cut, is when he puts this aloe leaf on his cut. Aval tzilzol katan, but if we're talking about making like a cloth tourniquet, so then no. And that will be a chatzitza. Rav Yochanan amar lo amar chatzitza bepachus mishalosh hasholosh. So the, no, chatzitza is only consideration when it's less than 3x3. Lo amru chatzitza bepachus mishalosh hasholosh. No, there's no chatzitza consideration when it's less than 3x3. Ela bemakom begadim. But that's true. That's only going to be concerned where the clothing is worn. Aval shelo bemakom begadim mishalosh hasholosh chotzetzes. Pachus mikan eino chotzetzes. However, if it's an area like the hand, where you don't normally wear clothing, so if it is less than 3x3, it's fine, and if it's 3x3, then that would be a chatzitza. Vahainu de Rava. And that would be exactly what Rava taught us, meaning that the way now in the second version that Rav Yochanan presents himself is that basically now he's in agreement with Rava, meaning that if it's shelo b'makom begadim, if we're talking about where you don't normally wear clothing, so then it has to be a significant swatch of fabric. A 3x3 swatch is considered an additional baggin, and therefore the Kohen's in violation of yisur begadim. Less than that, it would be fine. Amr chisalema pliga de Rav Yehuda bereid de Rabbi Chiya, shani tzilzol katan de chashiv. And the Gemara says, and is he arguing on Rav Yehuda bereid de Rabbi Chiya? And the Gemara says, not necessarily. Because even if it's a really thin tourniquet wrapped around his hand, and even if that tourniquet is in total less than 3x3, but because it's a davar chashiv, because it's significant, so that would be maybe a violation of yisur begadim. Well, the Rav Yochanan, my ear, yanami, lishminet tzotzol katan. So the Gemara says, so according to Rav Yochanan, why does he teach us the bigger chiddush? The bigger chiddush is that if it's a really thin tourniquet that he's wrapping around his hand, why does he say that constitutes a additional article of clothing? So the Gemara says, milsag of orchi kamashman de gemi mase. The Gemara says, yes, he could have taught us that halacha, but in addition to teaching halacha, he also wants to teach us a little bit about life as well. Meaning that, why does he give the example of using a leaf of an aloe? All right, so he wants to teach us that is therapeutic, and he wanted to convey that point as well. Okay, Adkan, that takes us to the end of that sugya. So again, the Gemara went over this idea of what is considered let's start like this. We just went over the Mishnah and Erevin that teaches us that if you wear that a Kohen is allowed to put an aloe leaf on his cut, even though normally it falls under the category of refuah, and refuah on Shabbos is asur. Again, when we say refuah on Shabbos is asur, obviously, I'll state the obvious point, which we always make. We're talking about we're not even talking about a chol hashem b'sakana, we're talking about mechush mama. Meaning it's a cut, it's an abrasion, it'll be fine. But if we're talking about chol hashem b'sakana, and obviously if we're talking about a chol sheyesh b'sakana, if we're talking about somebody who is either not in critical condition, but bedridden, or we're talking about someone who's in critical condition, obviously, you do whatever it takes in order to save the person's life. And even a chol she'ein bo sakana, somebody who's seriously ill, but not critically ill, but in other words, he's bedridden, so he can also take medicine as well. In other words, we're talking about somebody who just has a simple cut. The Mishnah Erevin says that, in general, you're not allowed to put a bandage on Shabbos, meaning when I say bandage, I mean something that'll be therapeutic, like aloe. But in the Beis HaMikdash, you are allowed to because of the principle of Ein Shvus B'Mikdash. And here, then, the Gemara is, in our parak, in the second parak of Zvachim, deals with issues of Chatzitza and Yisur Begadim. Meaning there's two considerations. One is that if the bandage is under the clothing, so then it serves as a barrier between the clothing and the skin. That's no good. And even if it's worn not where the clothing is, it may constitute an issue of Yisur Begadim. Okay.
The taking away from Onik Shabbat is considered also for taking it away.
Meaning what? Meaning...
Like Shabbat, like headache.
Yeah, right. In other words, right. The person just has like a mild headache.
Yeah, it's right. Taking away from
Onik Shabbat. It does take away from Onik Shabbat, for sure. But at the same time, the Chachamim in Gzera. Meaning when they made the Gzera, they understood that, yeah, it's gonna be a little bit of discomfort on Shabbos, but, in other words, they were worried about Issa
D'Oraisa. Onik Shabbat is
D'Oraisa, though. It's a Kabbalah. It's a tradition.
It's not D'Oraisa?
We learn it based on Psukim Yeshayahu. The Rambam puts it all the way at the end of Hilchos Shabbos. Right? He puts it in the 30th parak. Okay. Anyway, it's a Kabbalah. It's a long-standing tradition. Okay. Sorry, you're not going to get me to say it's D'Oraisa.
It should be.
Okay. Okay. Bai Rava. Okay. We are in the middle of Yitzhak Amad Aleph, halfway down the Amud, three lines before the lines get wide. So, okay, so let's say, now again, the clothing worn by the Kohen, the pants are, I would imagine, form-fitting, although, what do I know, I haven't seen them in action. But in other words, but the tunic, obviously, it's loose-fitting. You know, and he wears a belt in order to basically, you know, there's one point where for sure it's going to be on the skin, but the Gemara over here discusses, what if like a gust of wind now comes underneath and creates like a little bit of a little bit of separation between the clothing and the skin. Is that okay? So is it that we need the Torah demands that it has to be al bisaro, that it has to be in constant contact with the skin, or derech levisha, meaning it just pasha, that's how the clothing is worn. And sometimes there's going to be a little gust coming in, and sometimes the clothing is not going to be touching the skin. Kino maushitachot. The Gemara asks the question, the Gemara just kind of moves on. Kino maushitachot. What about a louse? So let's say there's a small insect serving as a separation between the clothing and the skin. So, mesa lo tibalach devada chaitza. The Gemara says, look, if the louse is dead and is there, and I understand we're talking about really a small insect, I do get that. But the Gemara's consideration over here is that maybe if it's dead, certainly it's a chatzitza because you don't want it there. But however, chai am I. But let's say it's living. So me, I'm in a kibbutz asla v'asla revisahi. So on one hand, the louse is not going to be there forever. It's only temporary. It's going to move away. So therefore, revisa, can we just simply argue that this is part and parcel of the nature of the louse, the clothing, you, of velo chaitza, and therefore it's not a chatzitza? Duma, kevin dekapital chaitza. On the other hand, if you saw the louse over there, you for sure would take it away. And so therefore it should represent a chatzitza. Gemara also shuffles off now to the next question. Afer maushiachos. Now what about dirt? Is there going to be a chatzar? Afer vadechayetz, ela avak afer mahu. The Gemara says, look, if it's mamish dirt, obviously that's a chatzitza. We're talking about dust, right? A little bit of dust separating between the clothing and your skin. The Gemara, once again, moves off to the next question. Beis hashechi, mahu shiachutz. Does it have to actually come into contact between your armpit? Meaning, the clothing has to be so form-fitting that it's actually making contact with your skin underneath the armpit. Abisar be'inan v'aleka. Meaning it's kind of understood that under that between your armpit, like right directly under, directly in the area of the armpit, you don't normally have clothing over there, and there's gonna and so over here where by the big day kohenik, do we say that's normal? Let's say you put your arm underneath, meaning in the bag, like right, like Napoleon look, and so therefore now the arm is serving as a barrier between the skin of your body and that of the clothing, or do we say no? In other words, that your own arm can't serve as a chatzitza. Nima maushitachutz, the Gemara says, look, what about a hair? A hair will be a chatzitza, nima vada chaitza, ela nima mudodalas mahu. The Gemara says, what if it's a hair? If it's a hair that thank you, that's a good correction. In other words, we're not talking about a hair of the body, we're talking about a thread. In fact, hair is coming up. Okay, that's right. Good. All right. So we're talking about a thread of the clothing. So if it's a thread, so for sure will be a thread for sure will be chatzitza. But what if it's a thread that's somewhat connected to the clothing, but middle delis, it's hanging on, I'll say with pun intended, hanging on by a thread. So do we say that that's a chatzitza? And again, the Gemara just moves on from there as well. By Mar Baravashi, Yatsa Sara Bibigdamahu. What if you have a hair that's now basically long and now serving as a separation between the clothing and your body? Kind of a difficult question to understand because remember the Kohen, right? This week's Parsha, we're reading it. Right? We read it on Monday, we're reading it tomorrow. In other words, that your the hair is not allowed to grow long. And the hair not growing long, we learned in the Gemara and Tanis, meaning that a Kohen's got to get a haircut within 30 days. A Kohen cannot have more than 30-day growth. And so the hair is going to be so long where it's mamish going to be a chatzitza. Although, maybe over here we could be talking about the beard. Right? The beard of the Kohen is, you know, presumably is long. So anyway, yatsa sara bevigdamahu. Sara kugufa dami, alav kugufa dami. His hair treated like basically your guf. And so therefore your own hair cannot serve as a chatzitza. Okay. So we have asked now a series of questions. The Gemara does not respond to any of the questions, does not resolve any of the questions. No. There is, however, going to be discussion on this last question coming up right now, and that is tefillin. By Rabbi Zera, tefillin mao shiachotzim. What about tefillin? Is tefillin going to serve as a chatzitza? Now, there's a really interesting Rashi over here, and Rashi really compact, but Rashi over here says mao shiachotzim. So Rashi says switch gears. Meaning, up until now, we were talking about chatzitza, meaning an interposition between the clothing and your skin. Meaning, dirt, dust, a thread, a louse. But now, Rashi says, even though we're stringing together question after question, but over here we just switch gears. When we're talking about tefillin over here, we're not talking about chatzitza, but rather what are we talking about, says Rashi? Yisur begadim. Meaning, do we view the tefillin as additional clothing? Wow. So, and stay tuned now, because I'm going to follow the Gemara like Rashi. Meaning, I know Tosafot.
How does tefillin become clothing, though? How does tefillin become clothing?
It's you wear them.
It's not clothing.
I understand. It's not clothing where it's protecting us from the elements. But it's, in other words, it's something that we wear.
But the thing is that you wear it because of the mitzvah. You don't wear it because you need the bigot.
Agreed. No disagreement. However, I can't, in other words,
sits is like.
Well, okay. So let's continue in the Gemara. So the way Rashi points it, the way Rashi presents it, this is now an issue of Yisur B'Gadim. Now I know Tosfos argues on Rashi, but I'm going to present the Gemara like Rashi. So the Gemara says, and by the way, like we saw earlier in the daf, meaning chatzitza can be used in somewhat of a loose application. Right? Earlier we talked about how even though the Gemara used the word chatzitza, it meant it in the context of Yisur B'Gadim. According to Rashi, same thing just happened over here. Meaning, because the Gemara's terminology is shiachotzu, that's chatzitza. But again, Rashi says the Gemara is using the term here loosely. So now, is the tefillin going to be a chatzitza? Ali b'daman d'amar laila lav zman tefillin hu, lo ti ba'ilach, kevin d'laila, chaitza yom na mechaitza. Now, tefillin is in a mitzvah at night to wear, so it is a constant machlokus or achas, whether laila zman tefillin. Some say yes, some say no. So the Gemara says, if we work with the position that tefillin is not zman tefillin, if laila is not zman tefillin, so the Gemara says, for sure that would be a problem. Lo ti ba'ilach. And again, I turn back to Rashi. Meaning, the way Rashi presents the Gemara, look, you're going to tell me that nighttime tefillin is going to be an issue, but the daytime it's not going to be an issue. I can't imagine, explains Rashi, because of the avoda of night versus the avoda of day, which one's more significant? Obviously, the avoda of the day is more significant. And now you're going to tell me that at nighttime it's less of a consideration and during the day it's more of a consideration? Meaning the avoda during the day is more considered avoda than the avoda at night. So we're walking into a bizarre scenario where the tefillin and the night is going to be more of an issue than tefillin during the day. Can't be. Ki tibay lach laman damar la zman tefillin. So if you subscribe to the position that tefillin can be worn during the day and during the night, so my mitzvah de gufe chayitz or lo chayitz. So in other words, so now, tefillin is a mitzvah on your body. And again, we're working with the position that it's during the day and during the night. So in other words, it's basically, it's part and parcel of who you are. Meaning, I wear my tefillin during the day, I wear my tefillin at night. Meaning it's mitzvah de gufe. It's part of me, it's part of my body. So is that a chatzitza, yes or no? And again, according to Rashi, the word chatzitza over here is to be understood loosely, is it considered yisur begadim? So ilgagal milso matal akame de Rabbi Ami. So the question gets kicked around to where it gets to Rabbi Ami. Amalei tamud aruchu biyadenu tefillin chotzetzes. So he says, look, we have a long-standing tradition that tefillin is a chatzitza. And again, according to Rashi, meaning it's yisur begadim. Meaning a kohen is not to wear his tefillin with his big day kahuna. Meitzvei, the Gemara, however, is challenging based on the following. Kohanim b'avodosam levim b'duchnam v'yisrael b'mamadam pturim min ha tefila u'min ha tefillin. If you have kohanim while they're doing the avodah, levim while they're on the duchen, and you saw when they're involved in ma'amados, I'm not going to go through what ma'amados are right now. In Tanis, we discussed it at length. But anyway, the point right now is they're exempt from wearing they're exempt from tefila, and they're exempt from tefillin. Now, and Rashi over here bases on the principle of osik b'mitzvah, pater min mitzvah. So my love imi nicham ena chotzitzos. Now, presumably, what's meant over here is that look, they're exempt from wearing tefillin, but what if they do? What if they put on a pair of tefillin? Seemingly, it doesn't serve as a chatzitza. Lo imi nicham chotzitzos. So the Gemara says no. If they put tefillin on, it will be chatzitza. To which the Gemara says, really, it's going to be a chatzitza, ihachi peturim asurim mi ba'ilei. So don't just simply put in the light language of they're exempt from wearing tefillin. No, it's more than an exemption. They can't put on tefillin. They're prohibited from putting on tefillin. Answers the Gemara, mi akevan di'ika levim v'yisram, deloma masilu asu mishum hachi tani peturim. So the Gemara says, look, because we are explaining the brisa of a kohen doing the avodah, a levi at the duchen, and Yisrael involved in ma'amados. By levi and Yisrael, there's no chatzitza. It's not usher for them to put on tefillin, just pater. So because we have to use the language of pater as it relates to levi and Yisrael, so we use the same language for kohen. The Gemara says, but the brisa says that if they put it on, it's not a chatzitza. Lokasha hadiyad hadarosh. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you the difference. The difference is yad versus rosh. Maishna, the Gemara says, I don't understand, what's the difference? Yad dechsiv yobash a besaro shalayi davar chotzitz beino lebesaro. The Gemara says, because look, on the yad, so where do I put the tefillin shal yad? It doesn't go on the hand. Right? Right? In other words, it gets wrapped to the hand, but where is it put on? It's put on the arm. What else is going on the arm? Clothing. Meaning I have the clothing on the arm. So again, I'm presenting the Gemara like Rashi. So in other words, so on the arm, so there, that's where I wear the clothing, and therefore it's Yisur Begadim, it's additional clothing. However, derosh nami ksiv v'samta hamitznefes al rosho. So the same thing isn't the same thing true regarding the head as well? Meaning, what goes on the head? I'll tell you what goes on the head. The hat goes on the head, and if we're talking about the Goen Gadol, the tzitz also goes on the head as well. And so therefore, isn't it going to be considered a chatzitza? Now, by the way, Rashi over here, even though Rashi up until now has been explaining as Yisur Begadim, Rashi over here just simply explains it's chatzitza. It could be that according to Rashi, it's very simple. Literally, where are you going to put the tefillin? Meaning, there literally is no place to put it. Meaning, you have the Kohen Gadol's got his hat on. Also, he's got the tzitz as well. Meaning, so where is it going to fit? Answers the Gemara, the Shalei Davar Chotzitz Ben El Besar Rosh Nami, Ksiva Santam and Sefer Zarosho. Tana, Sa'aro Hayanira Ben Tzitzlam and Snefes. The Gemara says, no, there's room for the tefillin. When the kohen puts on his hat, so the way the hat's positioned, the hat is not going and covering all the way to the hairline. The hat actually is somewhere worn, basically a little bit more in the back of the head. Then in terms of the tzitz is worn on the forehead. So believe it or not, well, you don't have to believe it, but in other words, the Gemara says it. In other words, so now in the front of his head, meaning from the hairline till the hat, so there's enough room over there so that the tefillin actually can go directly on his head. Shisham, I should have continued reading the Gemara, now we're on the top of your testament base. Shisham, and Yichin tefillin, that's where the tefillin goes. So therefore there's no problem of chatzitza. And we can also point out there's no problem of Yisur Begadim as well. meaning there actually is room on the front of his head for the tefillin to go, even for the Kohen Gadol. Next, Adkan, that takes us to the end of the sugya of the Mishnah and Erevin, putting a bandage on, putting a some sort of cloth tourniquet on, issues of chatzitza, issues of yisur begadim, tefillin, issues of chatzitza, issues of yisur begadim. We're continuing now, we're on your testament base. Mechusa kippur minala ma'amar avuna makrav v'chiper ala akon v'tahera, tahera mechlal shayet tmeya, meaning that only when the Zav and the Mitzora bring their karbonos on the eighth day, then and only then to become tahor. Prior to that point in time, they were not tahor, and therefore they can't do the avoda. V'shlo richus yadayim v'raglayim, ase chuka chuka mimechus begadim. And as far as richus yadayim v'raglayim, that's exer shava that we spoke about in the beginning of the parak. The Gemara just simply here reiterates it. Tanu Rabbanan. Kohen gadol shlo tavo v'shlo kiddush bein beged lebeged bein avoda l'avoda v'avoda v'rasak shera. On Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol is going to be tovling in the mikvah 5 times, and we'll be doing Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim a total of 10 times. Now, it's a mitzvah. What if he misses any one of them? The avod is still kosher. Echad Kohen Gadol v'echad Kohen Hedger shalo Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglav shachris v'avod avodasa psula. On the other hand, a Kohen Hedger and a Kohen Gadol missing the first washing of the hand and the feet in the very morning, so then any subsequent avoda will be possible. So Amalei Rav Asel Rav Yochanan Mechti Chamesh Vilos Vasar Kiddushin Da Raisa V'chukuk Ksiv Bohu Lei Akvo. Rav Asel says, Rav Yochanan, I don't get it. The Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur is toveling in the mikvah 5 times and doing Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim 10 times because it's a mitzvah in the Torah. And as such as a mitzvah in the Torah, so you can't, and on top of that, the Torah also uses the word chukah, which tells us that this is a law, which would seemingly mean that it's not just a mitzvah, it's essential. It's ma'akev. So I don't get it, says Rav Asi. Amakrau leveisham levisha ma'akev is vein davar achim ma'akev. So Rav Yochanan says to Rav Asi, let me explain to you. Meaning, where's a repetition? By the word levisha. Meaning the only time that it's ma'akev, it's only the levisha, the wearing of the clothing. And because the Torah repeats the word ulevesham, second usage of the verb v'lavash, so therefore shina akasav la'akev. There it's ma'akev, it's essential. But the other avodas like kiddush adayim v'raglayim, meaning the later kiddush adayim v'raglayim, or tefillah b'mikvah, it's not ma'akev. Tzavu panav. Rav Asi hears his answer, his face lights up. So amalei vava ufta kasvilach. So Rav Yochanan says, I didn't give you such a good answer. Don't get so excited by my answer. It's like writing the letter vav on a block of wood. Rashi explains when the wood has got so many lines going across, when you write a letter vav on the block of wood, so can you see the vav? No, you can't see the vav. That's the kind of answer I gave you, meaning it's not such a good answer. So I hachi de safra nami, amar safra nami, meaning if the only time the Torah repeats itself is by Levisha, and Kiddush Adayim V'Raglayim, it's not repeated in the Avodas Yom HaKippurim, so even the first one should not be Ma'akev. So Amr Chizki, Amr Krav, Ha'isal Lehem Chak Olam Lo Zaro L'Dor Sam, Davra Ma'akev B'Zaro Ma'akev Bo, Davra Shem Ma'akev B'Zaro Ein Ma'akev Bo. The reason why the first Kiddush Adayim V'Raglayim for the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur is essential is because the Torah says it will be for him and his sons. Meaning his sons, meaning non-Kohen Gadol. For a non-Kohen Gadol, as we have learned, Kiddush Adayim V'Raglayim is Ma'akev. For the Kohen Gadol, the first one also is going to be Ma'akev as well. Rav Yochanan generates the same idea, but based on a different pasuk. Amar me'achav v'rachtzu mimenu Moshe v'Aaron uvanav davra Ma'akev bevanav. Ma'akev bo, davra she'en Ma'akev bevanav ve'e Ma'akev bo. It's basically the same idea, just coming from a different pasuk. Rav Yonasan, ma'itam alo amar mi dechizkia. Why didn't Rav Yonasan like the learner from the pasuk of Chizkia? Am lecha hu ledaros hu dechziv. No, because that pasuk is talking about for future generations. Ve'idach ma'itam alo amar mi'hai. Mibayil elecha de Rav Yosef Rebbe Chanina. Dam Rav Yosef Rebbe Chanina kokir she'in bo kidei. Lekadesh arba kohanim mimenu. Ein mekachim bo. From that pasuk, we are learning not that the washing is essential, but how much water must the kiyor hold? It has to hold enough for 4 people. Shenemer v'rachzu mimenu Moshe v'Aaron uvanav, because the pasuk says that Moshe, Aaron, and his sons need it in order to wash. Just as a thought-provoking question, the pasuk that's quoted over here is before Nadav and Avihu died. So when we say Moshe, Aaron, uvanav, so there are not 2 sons of Aaron. There are 4 sons of Aaron, so that leaves us now, not with 4 people, but that leaves us with 6 people. Okay, that's something to think about. But in the meantime, however, What have we learned in the second half of today's daf is that the mitzvah of washing kiddush adam v'raglayim is essential in the morning for kohanim and even for the kohen gadol on Yom Kippur. It's true the other washings of the kohen gadol on Yom Kippur, the five times going to the mikvah and the subsequent kiddush adam v'raglayim that's going to be done by the kohen gadol on Yom Kippur are not essential. They're mitzvahs. But Rav Yochanan answers the question. Rav Yochanan didn't like his first answer, but the Gemara gives a couple of other answers why the first Kiddush Adayim V'Raglayim is essential, and the subsequent ones are mitzvahs, but not essential.